It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. COVID controversy.
What happened there?
That is the big story at noon. Red states pushing back after President Biden mocked Mississippi and Texas for ending mask mandates. As more and more states ease their COVID requirements, the president is slamming their decision with a knuckle-dragger insult.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
That comment not going over well across much of the South today. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
I feel the same way as I did the day that Hillary Clinton called all of us in middle America deplorables. It struck me as someone who needs to get outside of Washington, D.C. and actually travel to middle America.
15 states across the country do not have a mask mandate. Texas Senator John Cornyn says President Biden is tone deaf when it comes to most of the country.
President Biden has a lot of problems to take care of. I don't think he's got a lot to say about preaching to my state about how we've handled this COVID-19 virus.
Commercial stores across the South like Target, Walgreens, and Kroger still requiring folks to mask up, citing CDC guidelines. But smaller businesses are asking folks to use common sense and make that decision for themselves. Kevin Fish owns the Half Shell Oyster House in Flowood, Mississippi.
We need to be smart. In the restaurant business, I've got a lot of people that work with my customers, but the CDC says close contact is within 6 feet for 15 minutes. So if you're not someone who's going to be within 6 feet for 15 minutes, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. My busters don't have to wear masks. My hosts aren't going to wear masks. But my servers can easily be at a table for 10 to 15 minutes.
Fish says we've all been through the pandemic long enough to know how to make the right decisions. But Dan Williams at the Alabama Hospital Association says it's too soon to be ditching those face masks.
Instead of hearing it as, we now need you to use your common sense and continue to wear a mask, continue to social distance, they will hear it as, we have beat the virus and a mask is no longer required. That would be a catastrophe.
Williams says until we get more folks vaccinated against the virus, face masks and social distancing need to continue. Breaking his silence. That is the other big story at noon.
I'm sorry for whatever pain I caused anyone.
Andrew Cuomo apologizing for the sexual harassment allegations that are threatening to unravel his reign as governor of New York.
I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. I'm going to do the job the people of the state elected me to do.
The governor says he never touched anyone inappropriately, and he urged New Yorkers to reserve judgment until after his AG has finished her investigation. State lawmakers will vote tomorrow to strip the governor of his pandemic powers. Democratic Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara.
This is about much more than just emergency powers at this point. It's about actually restoring the balance of power at the state legislature. This is a governor that has a pattern of abuse of power.
Nearly 20 Democrats in New York have called for the governor to resign, including Assemblyman Tom Abernathy of Westchester County.
I believe the governor is distracted, and I heard the governor's statement. I don't know whether it's going to be enough to assuage the fears of those of us who believe that we need to move forward.
Abernathy says the governor is the face of the Democratic Party, and that face needs to be someone who can exercise self-control. New York Post columnist Miranda Devine says she's not buying the governor's apology.
The contrition and the tears were really just about him and his shattered ambitions, because although I can't see any way that he's going to be dislodged between now and the election, he certainly won't be able to seek a fourth term, and any presidential ambitions should have gone down the toilet.
Devine says the longer Governor Cuomo stays in office, the more nails he's putting into his political coffin. Last night, the U.S. House passed a sweeping election reform bill without one single Republican supporting it. The controversial measure restores voting rights to those who've been in jail, establishes automatic voting registration, and expands early voting.
Voting has historically been regulated by the states and been handled by the states. This is a major shift.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess says the election reform bill is nothing more than a wish list for Democrats.
Now, taxpayers are going to fund congressional campaigns. Who wants to spend taxpayer dollars on all the negative ads that typically crowd our TV screens during election time?
The bill now heads to the Senate, where the Biden administration says it might get rid of the filibuster to push it through. The U.S. House has canceled today's voting session over a security threat. Correspondent Deborah Alferone says the Capitol is under lockdown.
The threat is driven by a QAnon conspiracy theory that former President Trump will be inaugurated today. The acting chief of the Capitol Police said threats against lawmakers have almost doubled in 1 year. As a precaution, the House of Representatives moved a vote on police reform set for today to last night.
Deborah Alferone reporting. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke to reporters right after that vote, which would ban chokeholds, among other things. Pelosi says most police officers do the right thing.
Our respect for them cannot turn into apathy against what we know is happening and that must be stopped.
And the police reform bill, named after George Floyd, the Minneapolis man who died while in police custody last year, along with banning chokeholds, the measure bans racial profiling and no-knock warrants in drug cases. Law and Disorder in Los Angeles calls for L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon to step down, growing louder by the day.
This man is the criminal's best friend.
Please help us recall Gascon. It's not fair. Please, just get this man out of here.
We have a problem. His name is George Gascon.
Police have now joined forces with families of crime victims throughout greater Los Angeles, demanding that the DA step down over his progressive criminal justice policies. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva.
His policies are not reconcilable with the needs of victims of crime in L.A. County. They're just totally in opposition. Everything he's done since he's taken office is to the benefit of criminal offenders.
Villanueva says the DA puts criminals above victims in nearly every single case he's been involved with. The nomination of Javier Becerra to serve as America's next health secretary up in the air in the U.S. Senate. The former California Attorney General being tapped to lead the country out of the COVID pandemic, despite having no medical background. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley.
I think he is in trouble, and that's good news, because this is a guy with a radical left-wing record. I mean, a guy who wants to prosecute pro-life advocates, a guy who is in favor of partial birth abortion, wants to use taxpayer money to fund abortions. That's radical.
Still, barring any Democratic defections in the Senate, Becerra likely to be confirmed as soon as next week. Vice President Kamala Harris expected to cast the tie-breaking vote. Still to come this Thursday, he's sorry, but is it enough? The latest on the Cuomo controversy. Pennsylvania teachers sounding off on getting the jab, and the show must go on in New York City.
Well, good afternoon to all. Cold air is back, and that cold air is here to stay at least through the weekend. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, March 4th. Refusing to resign.
I want to address the recent allegations that have been made against me.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking yesterday for the first time since being accused of sexual harassment. Cuomo apologized, but also said he's not going anywhere.
I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it.
But New York Democratic State Senator Jim Skoufis isn't buying what the governor is selling.
I internalized this, and I got to a point where I said, I've seen enough. You know, this is a moral issue. This is a right and wrong issue.
Skoufis says it's way past time for Cuomo to step down.
He obviously felt uncomfortable. He obviously felt harassed. And I just simply don't understand why the governor continues to qualify that apology.
The governor asking New Yorkers to reserve judgment until his attorney general has finished up her investigation. Pennsylvania Republicans asking for an independent investigation into Governor Tom Wolf's handling of the COVID pandemic.
I'm just happy that the people in the Pennsylvania General Assembly are willing to make sure that Pennsylvanians are protected and look into what happened.
Congressman Fred Keller says he asked State Attorney General Josh Shapiro to look into the governor's handling of the nursing homes during the health care crisis. Keller says Shapiro turned him down.
It didn't seem like he was willing to come in with the accountability measures.
More than half of the COVID deaths in the Commonwealth have come from the state's nursing homes. Three new clinics for the COVID-19 vaccine will be opening up tomorrow in New York. Those clinics will take place at Genesee Community College in Batavia, Marist College in Poughkeepsie, and Jamestown Community College in Olean. Pennsylvania teachers sounding off on getting vaccinated against the coronavirus.
It's a moment we've all been waiting for.
Educators across the Commonwealth have been moved to the front of the line to get the shot. Governor Tom Wolf laying out his plan yesterday to inject all teachers and staff by the end of the month. Harrisburg teacher Michael Williams.
I think it's just going to be like a peace of mind and like a little extra layer of insurance policy. We're wearing the masks, we're distancing as much as possible, but the vaccine will help to prevent the transmission and the spread.
Governor Tom Wolf says he hopes the vaccine makes teachers feel better about heading back to school.
The vaccine should just give educators that last ounce of confidence that they can, in fact, go back into the classroom and be safe.
It really has been a long time coming. I'm happy that it's our turn now.
Officials say they'll be using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for teachers and staff across the state, so it won't impact the rest of the folks eligible to get the jab in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania State Troopers Association is calling out the Wolf administration for failing to prioritize police when it comes to COVID-19 vaccinations.
We've had over 700 of our members be infected directly and bring it home to their families, as well as another 200 of our civilian employees who are affected.
The troopers say the risk of exposure to the virus is high in the law enforcement community.
It's a constant fear. We don't have access to the database with this contact tracing to know that we're going into a house where some individuals have been infected. We don't know till it's over.
4,300 Pennsylvania state troopers are responsible for patrolling over 85% of the state. Entertainment making a comeback in New York City. Performances at Radio City Music Hall, the Lincoln Center, and Broadway will resume on April 2nd with limited spectators. Catherine Russell works on Broadway.
I love being on stage. I love selling the tickets. I love mopping the floor.
100 people will be allowed to watch indoor shows. 200 will be allowed for those outdoor performances in New York City. Google says it's going to stop targeting ads based on your web browsing history.
Google says the reason they're doing this, of course, is because of us. There has been increasing pushback against the way all of this advertising tracks us, figures out who we are, and then tries to target us with these types of ads.
Tech analyst Ian Schur says Google will be phasing out its ad tracking technology on the Chrome browser. Let's pause for sports, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with Yankees manager Aaron Boone. He's recuperating in a Tampa, Florida hospital. He underwent surgery yesterday to receive a pacemaker. General manager Brian Cashman said Boone made the announcement to the team over Zoom.
To assure everybody, this has become a routine procedure, and it's just something that's necessary, and it's time to get it out of the way, and I'll see you sooner than later. And everybody there just hold the fort down until I get back.
The team tweeted that Boone spent the night at St. Joseph's Hospital to rest and recover, currently in good spirits, and should return to the team in 2 to 3 days. The start of AAA baseball season being delayed. Major League Baseball will start the season with alternate site taxi squads, as it did last season for at least the first month. That means the AAA season will be pushed back into May. To the NBA, Joel Embiid dominated with 40 points and 19 boards. The 76ers beat the Jazz 131-123 in overtime in a battle of the top teams from each conference.
You know, without winning, you're not part of, you know, those conversations. When it comes to, you know, defensive player of the year, MVP, and all that stuff.
James Harden put on a show, a triple-double in his return to Houston as the Nets beat the Rockets 132-114. Harden with 29 points, 10 boards, and 14 assists.
A lot of mixed emotions from the fans, but I knew that was going to happen. I just wanted to come out here and give him a show.
Brooklyn won for the 10th time in 11 games. In college basketball in the Dome, Alan Griffin's 22 points and 10 boards helped lead the Orange over Clemson 64-54. That impressed Jim Boeheim.
He shoots like that in practice. He hasn't had a game like that. I mean, he's had a couple. you know, so he's capable. And tonight he, you know, made tough shots, nothing but net.
Myron Jones, 17 points, helped lead Penn State over Minnesota 84-65. In women's action, Cheyenne McEvans, 20 points and 9 boards, helped lead Buffalo over Miami of Ohio 75-70. Number 20, West Virginia, 72. Kansas State, 64. Boston College beat Pitt 67-56. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, President Biden's controversial COVID statement, Governor Cuomo's controversial harassment apology, and the hurricane in outer space.
Persecution and mistreatment of minority populations, especially religious minorities, especially Christian religious minorities, often goes hand in hand with a failed state. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In just the last few weeks, two mass kidnappings took place, both at schools in northwestern Nigeria. In the first, unidentified gunmen attacked a boarding school, killing one student and kidnapping 42 others. A week later, 38 of those that were abducted were rescued, presumably by government forces. But the day before that rescue, unknown gunmen kidnapped over 300 girls from a boarding school in a nearby state. On Tuesday, the AP reported that 270 were released. Now, it's not clear whether these kidnappings were driven by ideology or ransom money, though, of course, the motive doesn't make much of a difference to those who are kidnapped or their families. Not to mention, in places like northwestern Nigeria, ideology and profit are not mutually exclusive motives. When hostages are released by Boko Haram and other extremists, it's almost always because some ransom has been paid. Nigeria's inability to guarantee the basic safety of its citizens now has observers asking whether or not this country is on the verge of becoming a failed state. That's the official term for a state where the government is no longer really in control. At least when it comes to protecting the Christian population and institutions there, Nigeria's government hardly seems like they are in control. Because groups like Boko Haram and Fulani militants operate with a de facto immunity in Nigeria, their actions against Christians there are given a de facto legitimacy. German sociologist Max Weber famously defined a state as a human community that successfully claims the monopoly on the legitimate use of physical force within a given territory. Using even that most basic standard, Nigeria is clearly failing. Groups like ICON have documented the violence in the northern part of the country, where Christians are killed, wounded, assaulted, and abducted with regularity, sometimes daily regularity, by Boko Haram and Fulani militants. And Nigeria is not the only country on the world watch list for Christian persecution that is also characterized as a fragile or even a failed state. 7 of the top 10 countries on the Open Doors list also rank high on the fragile states list, which is produced by the Fund for Peace. And this pattern makes both political and biblical sense. A state that cannot effectively restrain or punish perpetrators of violence is in no position to protect the religious freedoms of its citizens. As the Apostle Paul told the Romans, government is instituted by God in order to execute wrath on the wrong doer. That's why we're to obey the government, including paying our taxes, not because the government's somehow morally praiseworthy, I mean Rome certainly wasn't, but because it has a God-ordained role in keeping the peace. And Paul also urged Timothy to pray for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we, citizens, may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectable in every way. But around the world, many of our brothers and sisters don't even have that option of living the kind of quiet and peaceable lives that we here take for granted. And yet, so many of our brothers and sisters around the world still manage to live in a godly and dignified way, which is a powerful testimony to the legitimacy and the vitality of their faith. As we pray for persecuted Christians in Nigeria and elsewhere, we should also pray for the stability of their nations, even for their government leaders. And whenever possible, we should ask our nation and its leaders to intervene or at least assist in squelching the chaos. Because without national stability, our brothers and sisters have no hope of living quiet and peaceable lives. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Behind a cold front, the chilly air is back in town. It's going to stay with us now through the weekend, with temperatures day and night running below average. Next week, though, we flip the switch. A much warmer pattern takes hold. Spring fever by the middle of next week could be a story here. But in the meantime, it's a cold afternoon with clouds, intervals of sun, and some snow flurries. Temperatures not moving much. We'll be holding in the 20s to low 30s generally, dropping into the teens tonight, partly cloudy. Decent amount of sunshine tomorrow, but a cold day. Upper 20s to the mid-30s. And the variable cloudiness with some snow flurries around on Saturday and a high temperature in the 20s and the lower 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, March 4th. President Biden raising some eyebrows when he mocked states like Texas and Mississippi for ending mask mandates. Take a listen to this.
I hope everybody's realized by now these masks make a difference. The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
That statement went over like a lead balloon in red states all across the country.
Obviously, is not the type of thing that a president should be saying.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
He kind of said it on the worst day he could have, because the same day he said that, in Texas, the Biden administration was releasing illegal immigrants into our communities who had COVID.
Governor Abbott says the same day the president was mocking Texas, his administration was releasing the virus all throughout the Lone Star State.
The Biden administration was exposing Texans to COVID. That is Neanderthal-type approach to dealing with the COVID situation.
Governor Abbott says his decision to end the mask mandate comes nearly a year after Texans have been following strict guidance from the CDC. Greg Abbott says it's time for politicians to trust everyday Americans to do what's best when it comes to their own health.
When we saw the spikes in cases after Christmas and New Year's, we saw that most of those spikes, they didn't occur in businesses or in schools or in other locations like that, like retail centers. Most of those transmissions occurred in the home setting, where people were not wearing a mask in the first place. And
Governor Abbott says most Texans will continue to wear face masks in public, but it's not up to government to force them to wear them. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo went on defense mode yesterday for the first time since sexual harassment allegations were leveled against him.
I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriate.
And the governor says not only is he not resigning, but he never knew he was making anyone uncomfortable.
I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable.
The alleged victim sounding off on the governor's apology, Fox News reporter Ashley Strohmeyer.
His apology was not enough for his first accuser, Lindsay Boylan. She tweeted, "How can New Yorkers trust you, Governor Cuomo, to lead our state if you don't know when you've been inappropriate with your own staff?" The attorney for Cuomo's second accuser also responding, saying, "My client, Charlotte Bennett, reported his sexually harassing behavior immediately to his chief of staff and chief counsel. We are confident that they made him aware of her complaint."
Ashley Strohmeyer reporting. Conservative radio talk show host Tammy Bruce says since Governor Cuomo is handing out apologies, he should also apologize for the 15,000 COVID-19 nursing home deaths.
Of course, no contrition, no regret over 15,000 deaths due to his order with the nursing homes. The media understands this. So when they shut down information, there's a reason. That is an assistance to keep people ignorant and uninformed. This is the value of knowing the power of the media, keeping it in check, and the fact that Andrew Cuomo sees that now as well, and that's why he's in particular trouble.
Bruce says as troubling as the sexual harassment claims are against the governor, the nursing home deaths are by far a bigger scandal. Last night, the U.S. House passed a sweeping new election reform bill. The measure expands mail-in voting and allows for automatic voter registration. It also would end voter ID laws and sets in motion a federal takeover of elections.
H.R. 1 is unconstitutional. Under the Constitution, we know that elections are governed at the state level. And we know that you want these elections to be closest to the communities in these states.
Former White House communications specialist Mercedes Schlapp says the measure passed with zero GOP support.
This is not for the people, Bill. This is for the Democrats, Bill.
Democrats argue the election reform law gets big money out of politics. The measure needs 60 votes to pass in the Senate. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Glenn Stanton, Director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. The pandemic has been a challenge for individuals and families alike. Isolation has been difficult on many levels. Glenn, what has research revealed about depression and suicide rates over the last year?
Jim Daly had asked me, you know, Glenn, we're hearing a lot about youth suicide and teen suicide in the COVID year. Like, what is the real research on that? And so I dug into it, and we are hearing a lot of these stories, but the fact is, nationally, we just don't know. There is not national data about what is going on. But unfortunately, youth suicide has been increasing for young people over the last 10 to 15 years. But there's something interesting in the COVID year that it doesn't look like it may be as high as it has been in previous years. And one scholar, Professor Jean Twenge, she's from San Diego State University. She is like one of the leading scholars on looking at the attitudes and well-being of young people. She said, it looks like kids are not feeling as depressed and lonely during this COVID year. And she wonders if it could be actually more time with family is sort of mitigating that isolation feeling from friends.
I think it's fascinating because maybe their social media impact has decreased slightly. And just that real here and now, these are my family members, that has increased.
It's interesting that Dr. Twenge found like 68% of kids are reporting that, yes, I'm spending more time with my family and that it has improved my family relationships. So we need to know as parents, when our kids roll their eyes and they huff and haw like, oh, I don't want to have to go to spend more time with you. They actually do. They really do want that closeness. They do want that time together. They do want to hear our corny jokes, and they do want to spend time talking with us.
Absolutely. Was there also data on which folks coped best during the pandemic as far as a demographic?
Yeah, intact families tended to do better. That is, homes with married moms and dads. And the kids are watching mom and dad cooperate together. And even with mom and dad most often telecommuting, working from home, kids being able to see, okay, that's the work that dad does. Same thing with mom. Okay, that's the work mom does. Cohabitation doesn't provide these sorts of benefits, that it's marriage that provides these sorts of benefits. Kids in those families and the adults themselves, husbands and wives, tended to do better during these trying times of the COVID shutdowns.
Thank you for bringing that out, Glenn. This is a challenging culture for traditional biblical values, especially concerning sexual orientation and gender identity. Next week, a book will be released from a thruple. I had to look that up. who made history a couple of years ago to be the first three dads added to a birth certificate in California. The book will highlight what it calls Adventures in Modern Parenting. Wow, Glenn, this is such a hot button topic right now, but it's a reminder that there is a battle between two kingdoms. One aims to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you have any tips for how we can lovingly and with conviction point people to Jesus and the abundant life God's got for us?
Well, I like what you added in there, lovingly and with conviction, that this is a battle for life and death. God tells us very clearly that male and female show the image and likeness of God in creation, and we are redefining that today. And in a way, you can't be kind and nice and gracious about challenging the very image of God in creation as male and female. Be graceful about it, but we have to be firm, and we have to say, we will not tolerate this idea that family can be any, you know, a thruple, any group of people together, or that the family doesn't have to include male and female. That is a direct attack on God's very image and likeness in creation. And we have to stand against that. We have to be prophetic. We have to be insightful. We have to be discerning, and we have to be truthful about these things. And that's what we're trying our best to do at Focus on the Family, and you guys, you know, in your radio broadcast. But the times are very challenging, and we do need to be very clear about what we believe and what it is God created and why he created it like he did.
That's Glenn Stanton with Focus on the Family. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, guys. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Behind a cold front, the chilly air is back in town. It's going to stay with us now through the weekend, with temperatures day and night running below average. Next week, though, we flip the switch. A much warmer pattern takes hold. Spring fever by the middle of next week could be a story here. But in the meantime, it's a cold afternoon with clouds, intervals of sun, and some snow flurries. Temperatures not moving much. We'll be holding in the 20s to low 30s generally, dropping into the teens tonight, partly cloudy. Decent amount of sunshine tomorrow, but a cold day. Upper 20s to the mid-30s. The variable cloudiness with some snow flurries around on Saturday, and a high temperature in the 20s and the lower 30s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, scientists have discovered what they're calling a space hurricane. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, that 600-mile-wide plasma storm was spotted hovering above the North Pole. It rained electrons instead of water. The hurricane captured by satellites in August of 2014. It was spinning in a counterclockwise direction, had spiral arms, and lasted around 8 hours before dissipating. Experts believe space hurricanes are caused by an influx of solar wind energy and charged particles flowing into Earth's upper atmosphere. Though the phenomenon has been viewed over Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, this is the first time scientists have seen it in our own atmosphere. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.